Bureau for Culture and Communication from Belgrade. We are going to make interview with our guests who came from Kosovo in Belgrade, and we will speak about their life and work and how they live in this political and social situation and how they see their work there. Our first guest is Sezgin Bojnik, a theorist and sociologist, working and living between Turkey, Kosovo, and Europe. So, hello Sezgin, welcome to this interview. We have to ask you some questions. Are you ready to do this?
Yes, I am.
Good, very good. Please, can you tell us who you are and what you're doing in general for the wide public on this radio emission?
Oh, my name is Sezgin Bojnik. I am living in Kosovo. What I am doing in general? Generally, I am a sociologist working in faculty and in the one institution in Pristina, which is about studying of the humanitarian studies. And yeah, now I am in Belgrade and doing this interview with you.
And good. I know that your topics were very much concerning on the Situationist International in the last times, and you made some very interesting publication about on Turkish language in Istanbul.
Yes.
And I was very amazed that you made this kind of publication, because it's never until then nothing was published in Turkish on the Situationist International. Am I right?
Actually, it's like this. I made my master degree, PhD, on the Situationist International. Actually, on the aesthetic political strategies of the Situationist in the Istanbul University of Mimar Sinan. And then there was the magazine, there is still the magazine called Art East, Art Line East, from the Istanbul, which is published biannually, like every 6 months, and it's in Turkish and in English. And the editor-in-chief of the magazine offered me to make an issue, and I made this Situationist International. Yeah, it is in Turkey. There is some publications like books of Debor Van Egem, of Grail Marcus, but there is too much confusion and misunderstanding about situation. So I try to make an issue on Situationist which will show the group as a political activist, not as an artist or like in the popular text a lot of people wrote about Situationist, like everywhere, and also in Turkey that it is some art avant-garde group. I try to show that it is more into politics than art.
And tell me, I know you are coming originally from one city in the south of Kosovo. Name is Prizren.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you study in Istanbul, and you also made this publication in Istanbul. But also you are working very much inside of the Center of Contemporary Art in Pristina, and in the main city of Kosovo. And I know that you are very much doing things concerning the theme on contemporary art in Kosovo, and what people are doing there, and also contemporary culture and music.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you made some fanzines about some themes that I never saw that are coming to this issue in Kosovo or something like that.
Yeah.
And somehow I see when I was we were there in the June 2005, and we saw very many people were somehow doing very interesting things there. I think the Kosovo is in fact not so not so closed like before. It's more open space as I saw it then.
Yeah, let me say, like, when I come back from Istanbul to Kosovo, I am originally from Kosovo. I born there, but I moved to Istanbul, Turkey, when I had 18 years, and I was away some 7 years, even more. And I was out from the situation, what is going on in Kosovo. When I was coming to Kosovo periodically, like every summer, but I didn't have any contact with people. And 2003, when I totally moved to Kosovo, I met, and there was only the art scene, which was active, which was doing something. The reason of this is very simple. It's because the exhibitions of this Erald Zeman and the René Bloch about the Balkan made Kosovo visible, the Kosovo art scene visible in international art market or art system, whatever.
I know.
And then everybody was talking about art. And somehow I was involved in art. Also in Istanbul, I was involved with the art. But just as like, I had friends who were artists. But I never wrote anything about art, doing anything about.
But you told me that you are now going to write a big publication about contemporary Kosovo.
Okay, let me just to continue. When here in Kosovo, down in Kosovo, when I saw this art and I met all these people, and you know, now it's 2006, it's almost 3 years, you know, and all this art system, art scene is supported by the German monies. You know, it's a very strange situation. It's Kulturstiftung des Bundes to give a lot of money, and they people build the center, the gallery, the school and everything, which I'm the part of now.
This is inside of the relation project.
But I am a sociologist, and for me art was never interested as art itself. I never wrote, for example, like, what is the influences as art, is it good, is it bad, you know, I don't look like that. For me art is like, that I don't want to say shit, but it's not important. For me is art important, like, what to say, like, directly CDs and like whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It is sociologically important, and I am looking at art as a sociological phenomenon. I want to research how the contemporary art started in Kosovo. What was the reason? What is the political reason behind it? What is the global situation behind it? You know, because Kosovo now is.
And you see it like a social phenomenon, in a sense of how it happened that contemporary art was suddenly appeared on Kosovo.
Yeah, and
before that it was nothing.
But let me tell you something. Also, the art general in the world for me is interested as a sociological phenomenon. You know, I don't want to make art something very special. You know, like art. It is the bourgeois. I think that this is the bourgeois ideology, that art has this autonomous zone, that artist has this sphere, untouchable sphere. Mm-hmm. I don't think like that. For me, the art, contemporary art, whatever, it's not something special, you know, like social phenomena. And I want to research it as a sociological hand. And what I found in the Kosovo is that a lot of artists are involved with the nationalist ideas. Like in the works of the contemporary video photography artists of Kosovo, they are nationalist. And you know, like, I don't want to say they are nationalist, but they are, you know, you have some flags, anthem, all these national signifiers. So, slowly my research went to nationalism, and in Kosovo not only art but everything is on nationalism, like this CD which you brought, this Sabri Feyzullah's son
Ermal Feyzullah.
Ermal, he is now also, like, he is teenager, he's 15-16, I don't know, he is also singing now a song about a really patriotic nationalist song, you know, with one old patriotic singer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is this, boom. So, to research, to make something about situationist in Kosovo, it's, you know what, it is just like to be the, how to say
it,
some.
It's, it seems like that you are playing...
colorful shit, I don't
some,
know.
Some completely another song in a completely different space.
It is, you know, it's, I am still continuing to make fanzines. Okay. Yes, in Albanian, in English. But, and more, because you see, you know, like, situationist, you can go there to say, like, down the spectacle, down the capitalism, commodity, you know, all these things. Leisure, don't work. You can say that, but in Kosovo, nobody's working. There is no capitalism. You know, spectacle, there is no spectacle.
Yeah.
Everything's
yeah.
strange, you know. So, it would be some kind of talking like, you know, you learn somewhere and you're coming, you know, like a tourist. Okay, I am writing still about situationist, but it's not for Kosovo, for somewhere else. No, it's my private thing. But for Kosovo, like to say organically intellectual to be, mm-hmm. I am working on the issues like nationalism and so, yes.
Yeah, because it's very much present. We have to just briefly look on the situation in Kosovo, in a sense of let's just I will ask you some question you can answer. Just to put an overview on the situation, what is going on there, and for example, Kosovo now it's as we know Kosovo is now like a zone being in a sense of status quo. It's We cannot say it's occupied, but NATO forces are there and they are KFOR
mm-hmm.
and other military forces from Europe and United States who are somehow there to provide peace between the Serbs and Albanians.
Yes.
And status of Kosovo is now very much discussed in the news and in the political stage.
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to ask you is how much is it possible for people from Kosovo to separate their work from the political and other social movements, what is going on there? Is it possible that people somehow can have distance, some kind of healthy distance and to work something which is not have connection to you said you
let me tell,
situationist
yeah.
and somehow it was not possible.
Yeah. I understand.
To realize.
As I understand question, you are asking like in this over-politicized situation like Kosovo, how you can work like to, how is distinction between society and politics? Let me say, when it is over-politicized situation like independence, nationality, identity, all these things, you know, all these things which you can see in mass media. In Kosovo, I mean. And the youngs are like, just don't give a shit, you know. If you talk with the youngs, they are not talking about politics. Nobody.
Really?
Nobody, you know. It's just like, because it's so, so much present everywhere, it is something like you don't talk, you know. It's, you avoid. You avoid because it is very boring. And so society, like youngs, and youngs are the main population of Kosovo.
But somehow it seems that all other expect political themes when we are talking about Kosovo. All other public expect to hear something politically.
Yeah, I don't know. I am not talking so much with friends, and my friends, they are not talking with each other. And okay, I'm interested what is going on. But, you know, it's these kind of things. Like for me, it is not important. As a sociologist, independence will be or not be or whatever, you know. For me, it's how people relate themselves to independence, you know. Like, what is the
what
independence?
Is for them, yeah.
You know, for me,
what kind of
for me now is Kosovo very interesting. Of course, I'm living there, but I am also researching. Interesting because it is government, state in progress. Now is state on construction, let's say, state
under construction,
under construction. So it is like these new things, you know. And so you see like how the state is working.
And what we need to build a state.
Yeah, and how the people, because you know, Germany, French, Serbia, Turkey, Bulgaria, Albania, let's say, they have states at least 100 years, you know. More. Now Kosovo is some kind of new, you know. It's a phenomena, you know. It's really a phenomena.
Not only in Europe, it's in the world.
It's in the world, it's a phenomena. So now my idea is to make a book called Kosovo in Theory, because it is not only my topic. Like Habermas, Virilio, a lot of scholars, you know, Baudrillard, Žižek, they wrote about the Kosovo. You know, these theories of Agamben, states of exception.
Yeah, yeah, states of exception.
It is for the Kosovo, exactly for the Kosovo. You know. It's, you can, Carl Schmitt, all these new, like, it is not new, but people are now interested in this Carl Schmitt's kind of political theories, you know. It's very, Kosovo is very nice field to research all these things. And, you know, building the state, building the identity, because another problem is now it's maybe first time in the world there is one nation, you know, Albanians, but there will be two states. Imagine Albania and Kosovo.
And also we have to mention Macedonia. Macedonia, but have Macedonia is a,
yeah, yeah, but Macedonia is
two nationality.
Yeah, Macedonians are majority, they are Albanians are minority. Even,
but it's also recognized in the parliament. I mean, in
it is recognized. But you know, in Kosovo constitution also, Serbs are recognized. And before 5 years, Turks were recognized also.
Yeah.
And some other nationalities. But now with the UNMIK, something's changed. You know? Because I am from Turkish minority of Kosovo, and I know because my father is involved, you know, in this. Things, so I know more things about what happened. But it is not my topic, you know. My topic is this general, it's theoretical. I am more interested in theoretical. You know, what is the concept of state? What is the concept of identity? Now there is a need to create a new identity called Kosovar identity. To be something different from the neighborhood, which would be Albania. You know, now I am talking from the position that Kosovo is already independent.
Yeah,
you know, you realize,
but it seems that
it's
already in the,
and I am talking how people are related to their everyday life and their thinking and their whatever. It's like Kosovo, you know. Of course, it is, there is a fact that a lot of people use still a Serbian passports, because it is a problem to travel with UNMIK passports
in Serbia.
Not everywhere in the world. Huh? No, you can go, but it is very lot of procedures, you know, procedura.
Yeah.
Like, of course, you can go to Turkey with a UNMIK passport, but you need to pay 100 euros more, you know, for the visa. Really? Of course, for the Bulgarians, they need them, and Turks also. For Croatia.
For Croatia, you also need
With UNMIK
visa, with UNMIK passport.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Like a lot of things, you know.
But somehow Croatia was very mild to Kosovo problem, and was accepting Kosovo like independent.
You know, it is different. It is like political things. This kind of, you know, this is really spectacle. But you need, of course, you can go, you can get easily this visa, but you need a visa. Whatever, you know, like this is not thing. But this is very important point, and I want to somehow to how to say, skrenem pažnju,
to pay attention
to this phenomena, state under construction,
how the one state is built.
I want,
it's
to
very interesting, yeah,
I want also imagine to people to work on this in Kosovo, mm-hmm, and also abroad to you know, to attention to this.
But it seems that this new state, what is under construction and what is building now, right now, and you said that there is a need to build a new Kosovar identity, that it seems that it's very much done under the patronage of European Union and United States.
And everything is there. Everything, everywhere. You know, even in Slovenia. And Slovenia changed a lot of things through the European Union process. You know. It became more fascist, let's say, more nationalist than it was. Through this, you know, European Union things. You could expect maybe opposite, to be more democrat, but not, you know. Yes, United Nations has a lot of influence, like it is in the constitution. Like this Soren Petersen.
Mm-hmm. Soren Jørgen Petersen.
He can just say the last word to any law, you know, to anything. If you don't like, there is a parliament, there is a president, there is a whatever, you know, prime minister. They can discuss, they can decide something, but if Soren Petersen said no...
He has some kind of high priority.
Oh, yeah, it is he like is last...
he is last some kind of...
There is no... We don't need to theoretically to discuss about this, how the, it is in the constitution, you know. It is
some kind of oligarchy from the European Union... the one who is presenting Europe.
But you know, in Kosovo, slowly, like the administration, institutions, the United Nations is, you know, taking the, how to say, like leaving to Kosovars.
Leaving to them, yeah.
Yeah, leaving to them, slowly. It is the plan, you know, it is the plan. But.
But what is happening with this huge NATO bases, what they built after the Yugoslavian bombing in 99?
They rented for 400 years, you know.
They will just be there and that's it.
Yeah. It is no let.
I know that, for example, this Aviano, this big base from Italy, from where they bombed ex-Yugoslavia, I think Serbia. It's now transferred. Transferred to Kosovo.
It's a very big base.
It's near Urošo, something like that. For me, it's very interesting to ask you under this condition how it is for young people for Kosovo to speak loud and to express their attitudes in a sense of how much they can speak in a sense of what they want, what they think. Is it restricted from some hierarchies or from some structures, mm-hmm. from politic or from some administration of UMNIK or KFOR, mm-hmm. or how it is, how you can express yourself in the sense of to speak something in the media open or
man, you know, you can. There is this Albin Kurti and his organization KARN, Kosovo Activist Network. They are doing now. Recently they made a big poster called Dead or Alive, and there is all these politicians from Kosumi to Tachi to Suro, you know, like. But you can do, you know. It's very, you know, strange situation. Like my friend, artist Albert Heta, in Kosovo, one of his best work was this, the banner, the not banner, this
flag,
the banner. Okay, let's say banner of the British Airways.
Okay, uh-huh.
There was a like ad of British Airways. Let's go, you know, times to go to visit British Airways, and you just put a little flyer there. No visa required. You know, like, because there is an ad of British Airways in Kosovo, but how you can go, you know, you need a visa. So, you know, after 9 hours, it was removed, and it was caused a big problems. Some mafia, you know, some people call him, what are you doing? You know, immediately find this telephone. And what is this? This is normal public art, political public artwork, you know, which in Europe every kid is doing, you know, that kind of cultural jamming, but so some things are really problem, you know. But here also you can see how the British Airway is working with this mafioso kind of people, you know, like calling them and like call him and he, you know, this is the situation.
Yeah.
Also a lot of people working in the embassies It is also very strange. In Skopje, in Tirana, in Belgrade, in Pristina, they really get corrupted. I'm talking about the foreigners.
Yes.
Diplomats taking the money. You know, they have the salary, who knows, like 10,000 euro in a month. But if you get from each people some 2,000 and you give the visa, then you will have a salary a lot more. And this is corruption. They are not doing in Germany, but here, you know.
In Germany it was this huge scandal with Ukraine.
In Ukraine it was, in Skopje, you know. It is just, you know, like, give me some money here. It is the same, you know, like this UN. Some UN officers, I think. They also stole a lot of money from the... this CEC. Mm-hmm. The electricity company.
Yeah.
There is a lot of corruption, that kind of things, you know, because it is money things. Most comic, funny thing and paradoxical thing, and also this is connected with this postmodern state, is that Kosovo, when you call Kosovo, mobile mm-hmm. phone, mm-hmm. you will dial the Monaco. You know?
It's a great... I think this is really, really
It is
great.
Alcatel. You know, the mobile phone, from the Kosovo is 044 and it goes number. But if you call from here or from Sweden, you call plus like 00377. It is the number of the Monaco. Like you are calling Kosovo, but you are calling Monaco. It is strange. Because when Alcatel made this, how to get a number for Kosovo, you know, all these things.
Yeah.
There was a big corruption. Big corruption. This director of the post, he resigned. He said that they are doing a corruption because it is the telephone in the Kosovo is very expensive.
Yeah.
Mobile phone is fucking expensive.
You cannot call just like that.
No, else. Just like to like in Sweden or in everywhere, you know, people are talking for an
10
hour.
10 cents or something.
Yeah, for an hour, you know.
You told me that, for example, internet connection. It's very expensive also.
About internet connection, I don't have so much information, but my friend told me that one company, I think from America, something, they are keeping the monopoly. And it is also expensive, and you know, it's...
Is it true that Kosovo lives completely only on the donations and also from the money of those relatives working abroad and sending the money?
It is like a Bosnia. Bosnia, you know. Do you know how Bosnia is working? It's 10 years after this Dayton. Now they are...
Dayton agreement.
They will celebrate the 10-year anniversary.
They will celebrate, yes.
And man, it is like a big bureaucracy. Something there, something up. And it's big money. You need a big money because it is like a machinery. It's like a bureaucracy. You need to pay. There is a... How many population? How many people live in Bosnia? 3 million.
3 million.
Half of them are the part of this bureaucracy.
Maybe four, somehow, I don't know.
Somehow half of them are part of this bureaucracy. You don't have production, factories, whatever. In Kosovo it's same. But Kosovo is more chaotic, you know.
But also...
And it's homogeneous, and Kosovo is homogeneous.
Some media for Kosovo always putting some connection to the mafia and to drug mafia. Like smuggling the drug, producing the drug, smuggling the drug from east. Like the Kosovo is the point where the drugs is going.
Okay, I am the... how to say, real life witness of that. I was traveling with bus from Istanbul. Did I tell you?
No, you never. You wrote it in the artist magazine.
Yeah, I was traveling from Istanbul to Kosovo with my brother with bus, and we start from Istanbul, and in the suburbs of Istanbul, the civil cars, three of them, stopped the bus. It was the policeman come inside, and we get back to the main police station. They search, and after 6 hours they found 40 kilo of heroin. You know,
in the usual bus.
Bus with me, brother, old people, young people, passengers.
Just a usual passenger bus.
Usual passenger bus.
Between Prizren and
between Istanbul and Prizren. So I ask to people what is going on, like what is left. The owner, the driver, and the guy working there, they are doing the business. That is 4 million euro, 5. It's big money, you know, just to sell it immediately, you know. And he said, you know, like, every bus has something. It's not only drugs. It's gold, it's money. Also,
it's cash money.
Actually, two time happened to me. Second time it happened to Skopje, again coming from Istanbul. The policeman in Skopje, not in border, but in Skopje inside, stopped
inside
us.
Inside the city.
Inside of the city, stopped us. And research, look, and they found the big pile of the cash money, you know, like this. $100,000, I don't know what.
Yeah, crazy.
I didn't seal it, but it was a lot of money.
I want to ask you how the people there are consciousness about the influence of the world corporation, of the corporative capitalism.
Okay.
And what is going on, and how they are they related to this neoliberal capitalism, what is somehow, in fact, the product of it.
I will tell you a very funny story, anecdote, but it is true. This Alexander Brenner and Barbara Schulz, you know them. They are the two anarchist activists, really
I know them.
Heavy artillery, you know. And I met them in Istanbul because they, after Artist Magazine, they did an issue on insurrection anarchism in Istanbul, and I met them there, and they had a plan to come to Kosovo. You know, like, Sezgin, can you just make some bed for us to sleep, and we want to do, like, I said, hey, but you know what, you cannot do anarchy there, you know, like, everything is anarchy. And there is the example, there is a big market in Kosovo, it's a chain of the big markets called Benav. They are doing a big business, you know, hell business. And they open in prison, there is a Benav in Pristina, but they open, I don't know, in Vučitrn, in somewhere, you know, somewhere, some city of Kosovo. But after 1 month, a big car with a full of bomb inside, an explosion, you know, destroyed all of Benav. You know who bombed? The local little shop owners. Get together, you know, this is a anti-global, you know, whatever. You know.
Yeah, it's a kind of anti-globalistic
moment. Anarchism.
Yeah, on some level, yeah. But with some with capitalistic idea.
I don't know what it
is. Is it true that 50% of population in Kosovo make people under 18? And almost 70% of people is under 26 years old. That means that Kosovo has 1 million of very young people. Unemployment is very huge. And how you comment this phenomenon? And what do you think what will happen after Kosovo reach wished independence?
You know what? Okay, let me say something, which is very personal, but I think that can explain something. My father, when he was in my age, he had one son like me, you know. He was married. And all his friends. But now all my friends in prison, my generation, even older, they are not married. They don't have anything, and they don't think so, you know, to ever.
It was in the 70s, in the 80s.
It was, yes, in 70s, 80s, I think. Now it's
It is not like that anymore.
Now it is very personal, subjective comment. I don't know, you know, I never think like that, but really, there is a lot of youngs, and it is a bad. And I was talking with friends that these youngs are in really fucking mainstream kitsch situation. You know, kitsch is everywhere in Kosovo. It's
sometimes.
It's like a kitsch country. It's
some kind of Kosovo turbo folk zone.
There is only one club, and I am playing the loud.
Yeah, when we are talking about clubs, I want to ask you how young people spend free time on Kosovo.
Just answering also this next question. Mm-hmm. There is this club where I am playing some kind of punk, rockabilly, you know, this young music, rebellion, you know, anarcho-punk, whatever. And I am 28. And these 18, 20-year people coming and dancing, you know, and they are not, they don't know anything, you know. Normally, situation must be like this. This 20-year guy or girl should come to me and say, you are old, you know, just go out.
Go out.
I will plan it. You know, listen to music. But it is not case. It is, unfortunately, there is only one hip-hop band which is nice, only one punk band, and there is not so many place to go in Pristina, in prison also. It's very conservative still. And no good music, you know. Now the Laiba wants to come to Kosovo and they contact me to have a concert in Kosovo, and they make really discount. Normally they are very expensive.
Great.
They want 4,000 euros. Okay, it's money, but it's a big name, you know. You cannot find in Kosovo 4,000 euros for Laiba.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I will say to Ivan Novak, that I cannot find the money. You know, it's so real situation. It's
It will be a huge public for Laiba, I think, there.
No. It is a problem.
If how many people really came to concert? I mean,
how many people know Laiba?
In Kosovo.
Yeah. Like, I am talking with friends. I was, like, we were counting how many people knows Gang of Four. Like, me, Emin, Meti. My best friends in prison.
Okay.
Then I met two guys in Pristina. And they knows Gang of Four. Wow, I said, we are five. You know. And I say, ask them, is there anybody else who know? No, there is not, you know. There is a five people who listen Gang of Four. So, you know, but I am not pessimist. I am like playing Gang of Four, copying to people, you know, talking, making a fanzine, now programming radio, and it is like that. You know, it is state on construction with everything, with punk, with underground, with mainstream, with whatever.
And tell me, please, I'm very interested, in fact, in your tease about turbo post postmodernistic country, and that all these postmodernistic theories are completely crushing on Kosovo, and and that you mentioned like Kosovo is a land of more than 1,000 of NGOs, and what is going in fact really in that sector? I mean, it's all sponsored NGO, from European Union.
You know, somebody is earning a lot of money with NGOs.
Yes.
Washing the monies. And when you don't have government, you need non-governmental institution. And it's a very logical thing. NGO. No, NGO country. It is. Yeah. And I am working in one NGO. Like humanitarian studies. This Gani Bobby. Verskels and Malicis. We are doing the books and...
And which foundations are present there? Like Soros or...
Soros is not present so much. Like
European Culture Foundation?
Now we are applying. European Culture Foundation is open. But Germans, like... There is a lot, you know.
German Political Foundation.
But this contemporary art is financed by the Kulturstiftung des Bundes.
And political organizations... From Americans, like
From Freedom Soros, House, from I don't know so much.
American things, Trust, Balkan Fund, or And can you please tell me what young people how they spend free time in Kosovo? And because unemployment is very very huge.
You saw it, you know.
What they are doing? There.
Everybody
I was
until
sitting in the cafe. It
and
was very relaxed situation.
It's relaxed, you know. Kosovo is, I can say, most optimistic country maybe in the world. I don't know. Everybody is laughing, you know. It's so relaxed, you know. There is explanation, of course. 10 even more years of the repression.
Yeah, under the
Serbian Milošević times.
Milošević,
big regime. Repression, you know. It's I remember. It's
also in Serbia, it was like that. You have
course,
to mention this.
And then when it go out, it was like, you know, it is explanation, and second is I don't know why. It is thing which I want to research. Now, why people are so happy? They are laughing.
Great. No. They don't have money and they don't have job and they have.
But they are like they have €5 million in the pocket. You know, ha ha ha. You know, and.
But I.
Everybody in 12 o'clock until 2 o'clock, it's in the cafeterias, drinking macchiato, chatting something, you know, making jokes and.
But I also heard that it's a huge drug problem in Kosovo for the young people because drug is very very cheap there. I mean.
Not like here.
You think in Belgrade it's more cheap?
Yeah, it's same.
Yeah.
It's same.
What is happening with internationals and? I mean, they are very much present. When I was there, some the like there's going and coming the all these Delhi's trucks and jeeps.
They are present.
And what they are doing there? I mean, how they acting? I saw these guys, for example, Germans with. I saw the Bundesgrenzschutz from Germany.
Yeah. It's for some training. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? In 1999. They were more present. Now they are not so. They are now elite. They have their own restaurants.
They are enjoying Kosovo life.
No. It's like the new class is creating. The people who work with internationals, like basic information, fact. My father was a director of the urbanism in Prizren. It's a big job. He had €250 salary. In the same building, which is municipality of prison, also there is the UN. And the guard of the UN get €400 salary. You know?
I understand, yeah.
You understand? And it is a new class. There is a people like international, like people working with NGOs and internationals, you know. They have a lot of money. You know. They get a big salary. My salary in the university, it's €120.
Yeah, I forgot.
You know what is that? It is comedy. It is new class, and people are little bit slowly hates this situation because they were working in factories.
I saw the specialized bordels.
And people are
for the K4.
Yeah. People are now starts to talk about how before was better. Yugoslavia, socialist time. You know, you see in the bus in some shop. People are just talking, you hear that, you know.
Yeah,
everybody, not only me, you know, like. But, you know, it's enough is enough. When you don't have money, money is very important.
Of course, economical situation.
Money talks, you know.
And I saw these bordels.
A lot of.
Specialized for Umnikund, for K4.
Yeah, guys. Prison, only in prison there is 200 bordels.
And how much is in Pristina? Can you tell some information?
I don't know.
Because Pristina is three times bigger.
Probably more.
Great.
But there is a city specialized on the prostitution.
It's women from the East
Moldova, like Russia, Moldova. Ukraine, Bulgaria, Albania.
Like, is there some organization working on this?
A lot of. Trying to stop this, but it is, you know,
also trading with people. I mean,
you know the scandal with the make the razzia to search what is going on, you know, to these illegal bordels. All these UN people were there, you know, like these big guys.
It's like in the movie.
It's like in a movie. So how you can stop it, you know?
Yeah, it's like this. When you mention this post-modernity of it, you can see there's those guys standing like in the movie. I cannot imagine this scene when I was in Hotel Grand in Pristina, when all 50 of the Bundesgrenzschutz Polizei things.
Yeah. Rena told me.
Rena was completely amazed. Like, wow, look, these guys from Germany. I remember them from the German.
Yeah.
They're just here and there. I saw this.
And Rena had a small trauma there.
Yeah. I saw these laptops, they are on the wireless network connection all the time and giving all the shits to them. And
yeah.
It's completely crazy there. But somehow, what do you think after independence, will it something change or? When independence come, I don't know what will happen.
Let's see, you know.
It's completely. I don't think that Serbia it's...
Thank you very much for this interview. Biro for Culture and Communication Belgrade, February 2006.